In this section, in this 12th chapter, we mainly discuss about the qualities of Maharaj Parikshit, and in turn it actually also means that what are the qualities that a Vaishnava should have. So in the previous two class, Damodar Prasad Prabhu covered the quality of truthfulness, and for that he gave the example of Lord Ram. And then in verse 20, he covered the quality of giving protection to the surrendered souls. And in this case, we saw the example of King Shibi. So today we'll actually cover the remaining eight qualities. So in 21, we'll actually cover the qualities of a Kshatriya or a leader. In 22, we will cover the qualities that one should want to please Krishna. In verse 23, we will cover the quality of equanimity, munificence, and giving shelter to everyone. In 24, we will discuss about how we can actually acquire godly qualities, how one needs to acquire godly qualities. And in 25, we'll discuss about the quality of patience and strong devotion to the Supreme Lord. And in 26, we'll discuss who is the wisest of everyone. And in 27, we'll discuss about how we can take complete shelter of the Lord. And in 28, we'll discuss about the quality of fearlessness. So we'll start with verse 21. Dhanvinam agnirir esha tulyascharjuna yordvayoho hutasha iva durdarshaha samudra iva dushtaraha. Translation. Among great bowmen, this child, Maharaj Parikshit, will be as good as Arjuna. He will be as irresistible as fire and as unsurpassable as the mountain, as the ocean. So in this verse, Prabhupada is actually giving a history of, he is mainly talking about Pandava Arjuna. And in the beginning, he mentions that there are two Arjunas, like how there were two different Bharat Maharaj, there are two Arjunas. So one of them, and both of them were actually famous for their bowmanship. So one of the Arjuna was the king of Haihaya, and his name is Kartavirya Arjuna. And then the second Arjuna is Pandava Arjuna, whom we will be actually discussing in this verse. And he is the grandfather of Maharaj Parikshit. So as we all know, Pandava Arjuna is the greatmost devotee of Lord Krishna, and he is a friend of Lord Krishna. And because of only Arjuna, Pandava Arjuna, Krishna spoke the transcendental of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Arjuna is the plenary part of the Lord of the Heaven, King Indra. He is basically the son of Queen Kunti and Lord Indra. And because he is, and he was born in the month of Phalguna. So he is also called by the name Phalguni. And when he was born, Vasudeva, father of Krishna and the maternal uncle of Arjuna, he sent priest representatives, one of the priest representatives, Kashyapa, to purify Arjuna by all the prescribed samskaras. And his samskara of giving the name was done in the presence of great rishis. And then Arjuna had four wives, Draupadi, Subhadra, Chitrangada and Ulupi, and from whom he had four sons, Shrutakirti, Abhimanyu, Babruvahana and Iravan. So the remaining section, Prabhupada mainly gives different pastimes of Pandava Arjuna. I'll briefly touch upon each of them. So Arjuna was a very, very studious and topmost student of Dronacharya. He was the top number one in his class. And in this regard, Prabhupada mentions about the story of the piercing the target, where Dronacharya actually awards Arjuna the bowmanship award. So it was basically an exam for the Pandavas and Kauravas, and the target was the parrot's eye. So all the Kauravas and Pandavas were there, and then Dronacharya asked them to shoot an arrow to the eye of the parrot. But everybody else except Arjuna, they were telling they can actually see the tree, they can see the branch, they can see the leaves, and some of them said that they see the head of the parrot. But Arjuna was the only one who could actually see the eye of the parrot. So he was extremely focused. So he got a bowmanship award from Dronacharya. And then another pastime that Prabhupada mentions in the purport is the crocodile pastime. So Dronacharya actually went to take a bath in the pond, and then at that point he actually started shouting that his leg was caught by a crocodile. And then everybody tried to save the Dronacharya, but no one were able to succeed. So Arjuna, what he did was he actually shot an arrow in such a way that the jaws of the crocodile were held apart. So this was the crocodile was really an illusion. There was not a real crocodile. So Dronacharya was mainly testing his students to actually find out the right candidate to actually take revenge on Drupad Maharaj. And then after this pastime, Arjuna was awarded the weapon Brahmashira. So in this regard, Prabhupada mentions the pastime of Drupada. So basically, Drupada and Dronacharya, they both of them were very, very good friends, and then they studied together. And while studying, Drupada actually promised to Dronacharya that when he inherits the kingdom, he will give half of the kingdom to Dronacharya. So after some time passed, and then he became the king. And then in the meantime, Dronacharya married Kripi, who was the twin sister of Kripacharya. And then they got a son by name Ashwatthama. And then they were very poor actually. So at one point, so Ashwatthama was actually going to the school, and they didn't even have enough money to actually give milk to Ashwatthama. So what they used to do was they used to mix water in rice flour and then give it to Ashwatthama. So the Brahmanas, kids in the school, they used to make fun of Ashwatthama at that time. So Dronacharya actually saw this, and then he remembered the promise that Drupada had given. So he went to meet Drupad Maharaj. But Drupada actually, he told that he doesn't remember the promise, and then he humiliated Dronacharya. So Dronacharya was very, very offended, and then he thought that he should actually take revenge on, not revenge, but he was angry on Drupada because not because that he didn't get his share, but a responsible king did not keep up to his promise. So that's why Dronacharya wanted to teach him a lesson. So for this, what he did was he approached Kripacharya, his brother-in-law, and then asked whether he can actually do some, like he was a military teacher, so he asked whether he can actually teach. So Kripacharya was actually at the time in Hastinapura, and then he told that he will arrange something. So Dronacharya, then he came to the place where the kids were actually playing ball. All of them were actually small at that time, and then he was just watching from a distance. So what happened was they were playing ball, cricket or something. So the ball.
That's it.
I just made it up.
It, so.
So the ball actually fell into the well, and then the kids were actually worried, like how they will actually play and then how they will take out the ball. So at that time, Dronacharya actually came there, and then he actually shot an arrow and then used a string of, the darbai, we say that in Sanskrit, the grass. Kusha grass, and then he used that to take out the ball. So the kids were very, very impressed, and then they were all very happy, and then they went and told Bhishma Pitamaha, their grandfather. So Bhishma Pitamaha, then he came and spoke with Dronacharya, and then he asked whether he can teach the science of military to the kids. He accepted, which is exactly what he wanted, but he mentioned one thing, that at the end of the training, he will ask for a Guru Dakshin. So the training got over, and then he asked for the Guru Dakshin, and the Guru Dakshin was his students needs to go and capture Drupad Maharaj. So the Kauravas, they told, at that time they were all grown up, and then Duryodhana, he told that, and all the Kauravas, they told that we are very capable than Pandavas, we'll go and capture Drupad Maharaj. But they went, and then Drupada was very, very strong, and then he actually defeated all the Kauravas. And then Pandavas, it was the turn of the Pandavas. So Pandavas actually, they sent Arjuna, and then Arjuna was able to capture Drupad Maharaj. So at that point, and then he brought Drupad Maharaj in front of Dronacharya. So Dronacharya, so at this time, Dronacharya actually, he told Drupad Maharaj that although he forgot the promise, Dronacharya didn't forget, and then he gave half of the kingdom that Arjuna captured for him to Drupad Maharaj. So Drupada was very, very humiliated, he got offended by this, and then he thought that he will take revenge, and then he did a yagya. He went back to his kingdom and then he did a yagya to get a son who will be able to defeat Dronacharya. And then from that yagya, Drishtadyumna and then Draupadi actually came out. So when Arjuna actually fought with Drupad Maharaj, he actually noted the prowess of Arjuna, and then he wanted his daughter Draupadi to get married to Arjuna. So what he did was, he set up a competition for Draupadi Swayamvara at the time of her marriage. He set up a competition and the competition was a very, very difficult one, and then he made sure that only Arjuna will be able to win that competition. So the competition was that there was a fish which was circling on the ceiling, and then there was a vessel in which water was there, and whoever needs to marry Draupadi had to shoot the eye of the fish by looking at the water. So everybody tried in the assembly, but nobody succeeded. And then at that time, Pandavas were already in incognito, the 12 years of Vanavas, and Arjuna was actually dressed as a Brahmana. They were in the Brahmana attire. So, but Krishna somehow got Arjuna there, and then he shot Arjuna. Actually, at the end, Arjuna shot the arrow, and then at the end, he revealed that he was not a Brahmin, but a Kshatriya, and then he was Arjuna. So once he got married, he brought Draupadi to the hut where they were in the forest, where they were all staying with their mother, Queen Kunti. And then Queen Kunti was inside doing some work, and then the Pandavas, they actually came and told that, "Mother, see, we have got some, Arjuna has actually won something." So without even thinking, Kunti actually told, "Okay, you all five brothers share it with among yourselves." So she didn't know that Arjuna actually had got a bride, and then because they had to listen to their mother, they actually shared, Draupadi was the wife of all the five Pandavas. So Rompad Maharaj actually gives the pastime why Draupadi had to actually marry five of them. In her previous life, she was a very, very ardent devotee of Lord Shiva. And then she did tapasya to get a very, very qualified husband. So Shiva was very, very pleased with her, and then he came in front of Draupadi, and then Draupadi asked that she should get a qualified husband five times. That is the reason that she really got a qualified husband, five qualified husbands in her next life as Draupadi. So yeah, that's what, so one thing that we should remember is, when we are asking for something, we should make sure that we are asking the right thing and then ask it only once. In the rest of the purport, Prabhupada actually gives the other pastimes of Pandava Arjuna. I'll briefly touch upon this. This is actually a very big purport, so I'll quickly cover all the points. So then he mentions about the story of Ulupi. Ulupi is one of the wives of Arjuna. So at this time, since the Pandavas had to... So Kunti, after she told all the Pandavas that they should share whatever Arjuna had won, she realized that she actually told to share a bride. So she put a rule that every month Draupadi should stay with one of the Pandavas. So this was the time when Draupadi was actually with Maharaj Yudhishthir. And then there was some dacoits actually entered to rob the cowherd man. And then Arjuna, to just save the cowherd man, he entered into the personal quarters of where Yudhishthira and Draupadi were staying, because he had kept the bow and arrow there. And then he went and then he saved the cowherd man. But after coming back, he actually realized that he broke the word of what he had given to his mother. And then he told that he wants to go for a pilgrimage. All the Yudhishthira told that you didn't make any mistake. You just went to save. It was your duty. But Arjuna told that he still broke the promise that he had given to his mother. And then he went and he told that he wants to go to the pilgrimage. At this time, the first place where he went for pilgrimage was Haridwar. So he was taking bath in Haridwar, and then Ulupi, she actually captured Arjuna and then took him underwater to Nagaloka. And then there he expressed the desire to marry him, marry Arjuna. But Arjuna told that he cannot marry. But finally he was convinced by Ulupi that he needs to marry to her. And then he married her, and then Iravan was actually born from them. And under very, very similar circumstances, Arjuna married Chitrangada, and then Babruvahana was born to them. And then during the same time where he was in incognito for he was in pilgrimage for 1 year, he went to Dwaraka, and in Dwaraka he met Subhadra, and then he wanted to marry Subhadra, so Krishna actually arranged for their marriage. So there is a very, very nice description given by Rompad Maharaj on this. Actually, on all the verses, it is very, very nice, all the 9 verses. And in this he actually tells that Krishna, he had to fight with his brother Balaram, because Balaram wanted to get his sister Subhadra married to Duryodhana, because he was the teacher for Duryodhana in mace. But somehow Krishna actually convinced him, and then Balaram was actually ready to go and fight with Pandavas, but somehow Krishna convinced him to go take gifts for them, and then they actually went and gave gifts to Arjuna and Subhadra. So Abhimanyu was born of them. So Abhimanyu was their son. And some more pastimes mentioned in the purport. The pastime of Lord Shiva awarding him Arjuna the Pashupatastra. So at this time, Lord Shiva wanted to test the strength of Arjuna, and then he came to earth as in the form of an aborigine. I think aborigine means Adivasi tribal. So he was actually in the forest, and Arjuna was also in the forest at that time, and he was trying to shoot a boar, and then Lord Shiva also shot an arrow, and then they were actually thinking that who shot the arrow, and then they wanted to fight with each other to claim who really shot the arrow at the boar. At this time, Lord Shiva actually defeated Arjuna, and then he revealed his identity that he was Lord Shiva himself, and then he awarded him the Pashupatastra. And then Arjuna also received Dandastra from Yamaraja, Pashastra from Varuna, and then Antardhanastra from Kuvera. After this, he went to Indraloka, and in Indraloka he learnt the military science, and then how it is being learnt music, and also the military science of how it's being followed in the heavenly planets. And there he met Urvashi, who is one of the apsaras in Indraloka, and then Urvashi expressed her desire to marry Arjuna, but Arjuna actually referred to her as his mother. So Urvashi actually got very angry, and she cursed him to transform into an eunuch. During that time, actually another thing before that, he also saved Duryodhana from the Gandharvas. And during that time, Duryodhana actually awarded Arjuna a benediction. And this is the benediction that Arjuna actually used to take the 5 arrows that Bhishma Pitamaha had given to Duryodhana to kill all the 5 Pandavas. And then, so later in the form of a eunuch, he became the music teacher of Uttara in the court of Virat Maharaj. And here his name was actually Brihannala. And here he was incognito as an eunuch in the court of King Virata. So then what happened was, there was a pastime that I saw somewhere where All the Pandavas were actually there in the court of King Virata, and then one of, I think King Virata or his somebody actually, I forgot the name, misbehaved with Draupadi. So Bhima got very, very angry, and then he actually made sure that he doesn't do that again. I don't know whether he killed him or he subdued his
Kichaka.
Yeah. So this news actually reached Hastinapura, and then the Kauravas actually they thought that no one, because this Kichaka was very, very strong, and then nobody apart from Bhima would be capable of doing that. So they knew that they were actually thinking that the Pandavas were staying in the kingdom of Virata, court of King Virata, and then they came to fight. At that time, son of Virata, his name is Uttara, the daughter's name is Uttara, and the son's name is Uttara. He went to fight with the Kurus, but he was really not capable. Looking at the army, he got scared. At that time, Arjuna, in the form of eunuch, Brihanala, he told that, I have hid my bow and arrow in this particular tree, Somi tree, I think. You go and get them. So he got it, and then he single-handedly defeated all the Kurus. And then, and after some time, towards the end, I think, Babruvahana, he defeated Arjuna in the war that took place in Manipur. And Ulupi, at that time, Ulupi actually, so Arjuna was unconscious at that time. And Ulupi, who was one of Arjuna's wives, she went and got Nagamani from the Nagaloka and saved Arjuna. And towards the end, after Lord Krishna disappeared, Arjuna was taking all the wives of the Lord to Indraprastha. But at that time, he was defeated by the Abhiras. So we know that it was only because of Lord Krishna's mercy. It was not because of Arjuna's strength. Although he had strength to defeat everybody on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it was only because of the presence and blessings of the Lord that he was able to, like the Pandavas were able to defeat all the Kurus, Kuru dynasty. Okay, so sorry I took a lot of time in this verse. We'll quickly go to the next verse. Mrugendra iva vikranto nishevyo himavan iva titikshur vasudevasau sahishnu pitarau iva. Translation: this child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. So in this verse, all the qualities that are mentioned by the astrologers for Maharaj Parikshit is the qualities that we all should, like as Vaishnavas, we should want to please Krishna. So serving Krishna, the devotees, so this section I actually took from Rumpad Maharaj's lecture. It is very, very beautiful, this particular section. So he says that when we serve Krishna, the devotee becomes decorated by his qualities, by the qualities. Because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, so he will decorate the devotees, like his sincere devotees. Since the qualities please Krishna, the devotees becomes more and more dear to Krishna, and then he decorates his devotees further with more and more qualities. So the devotee is getting pleasure in serving and serving and serving the Supreme Lord, and Krishna is also getting pleasure by decorating and decorating and decorating. So this keeps going on actually. So this section, I'm not making justice. We should definitely listen to the class that Maharaj has given. It is very, very beautiful actually, especially this verse, 22nd verse. And in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada mentions that one should be a lamb at home and he should be a lion in the chase. So most of the time, this is opposite in our case. We are a lion at home in front of our spouses, but when we go outside, we are actually very, very soft actually. At least in my case, I'm like that. So the thing that is mentioned in this purport or in this verse is we should be soft and strong at the same time. So Srila Prabhupada is expanding on this, and then he says that leader is one who gives protection to those who have really taken shelter or who have surrendered. So the example that is given is Arjuna protecting Maya Danava, and the personality of Kali being protected by Maharaj Parikshit, and then Jagai and Madai who had offended Lord Nityananda. And on the other hand, suppose, so this is for the quality of softness. On the other hand, suppose one is inimical towards Krishna or Krishna's devotees. So Mrugendra Iva Vikranto. So one should be, one should actually have the quality of being capable of having the great prowess to establish the well-being of those who have really taken shelter. So we should not just surrender to whoever is actually offending, but we should make sure that we should teach them the proper lesson, especially when somebody is affecting, offending Krishna or his devotees. We should make sure that we should not just listen, but take it a point that we should curb their pride or their inimical behavior. So the other qualities that is mentioned in this verse is munificence. So capable of giving shelter to anyone. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions in the verse Himalayas is given and is given as the example, and in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that Himalayas can actually give shelter to a materialist or even a spiritualist. So as a if a materialist can actually take shelter by taking minerals, valuable things and so on from Himalayas, and as a spiritualist he can actually go and live in the caves and do tapasya, and he can get medicines for his health, water to drink and so on. As practicing devotees, for us a holy name is the complete shelter. So in Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinod Thakur, he is mentioning that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with Haridas Thakur, that he says that holy name is like Krishna. Holy name can actually give shelter to anyone. And is Krishna, he supplies everything for everyone. So for a materialist, the holy name can actually supply dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And as for impersonalist, the holy name can supply them liberation. And then for a pure devotee, the holy name can supply the love of God. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Haridas Thakur how to come to that stage when one can actually chant like that. So I'll quickly read what is mentioned in the Harinam Chintamani. One who chants the holy name even once is considered a Vaishnava devotee, and the householders should be very, very attentive to respect such a person. But the devotee who constantly chants Krishna's name is even a better Vaishnava, for he is endowed with all the good qualities and he needs to be served. The most advanced Vaishnava of all, he is he who inspires others who see him to immediately chant the Lord's name. When he chants the name even once, attraction to render eternal devotional service to the Supreme Lord is irrevocably established. Kindly tell me how the non-devotees can be made to accept the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually asking Haridas Thakur. So for us as practicing devotees, holy name is a shelter. So we should take the shelter of the holy name to develop all these qualities. And then the other two qualities mentioned in the verse are titikshuhu, which means forbearance. The example that is given is earth remains unmoved even when there are so many disturbances on its surface. It doesn't complain. Similarly, we need to be unmoved actually. So we have to develop that inner strength that whenever, whatever may be the case, we should be tolerant, we should tolerate everything. And a leader especially needs to have this quality. And then the astrologers are telling the Maharaj Yudhishthir that Maharaj Parikshit will actually have this quality. And then the other quality mentioned in this verse is Sahishnuhu, which means tolerance. More specifically for us, it is specifically about tolerating the thoughts that come to our mind. And then tolerating for tolerating duality for a higher purpose. So we can see the example of so many Maharajas, whether it be cold or whether it be hot, they still go travel so much. And then when we actually travel to a different state, on a different time zone, at least myself, actually, I find it so difficult to get up in the morning and then follow my chanting and all those things. But Maharajas, they actually keep traveling different time zones. They go to India, they go to China, they come back to US and different time zones. It is so difficult for them. But still, they actually tolerate all of this because they tolerate it to give love of Krishna to others. So they are tolerating the duality. And then the astrologers are mentioning that Maharaj Parikshit, he will possess all these qualities, munificence like Himalayas, strong and soft at the same time, forbearing, and he will be tolerant as well. So we'll go to the next verse.
Pitamaha samasamge prasade girishopamaha ashraya sarva bhutanam yatha devo ramashrayaha.
Translation: this child will be like his grandfather Yudhishthira or Brahma in equanimity of mind. He will be munificent like the lord of the Kailasa hill, Lord Shiva, and he will be the resort of everyone like the supreme personality of Godhead Narayana, who is even the shelter of the goddess of fortune. So the qualities, for the one of the qualities that is mentioned in this verse is equanimity. The Sanskrit word for this is samaha. So this quality is the quality of a brahmana, being equal minded and not being affected by duality. So how does it happen? It happens when we actually take shelter. When we take, so it is not just taking shelter of like one person or the other, complete taking the shelter of the Lord at the soul level and then completely surrendering to the Acharyas. So in this regard, Lord Shiva is actually describing the quality of King Chitraketu in Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto 17th chapter 28th verse. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati swargapavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinaha. So complete surrender means surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's life, so one should think that one's life is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that point, duality really becomes insignificant. When one is attached to the service of the Lord, he really doesn't care whether he's not really interested whether he goes to heaven, or he's not interested in liberation, nor he doesn't mind going to hell for the service of the Lord. They are only interested in the service, in doing devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also mentions this in the last verse of Sikshashtakam. Aslishyava padaratam pinastumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva yata tatava vidadhatu lampato matprana natastu sa eva naparaha. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me broken hearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So we as practicing devotees, we should actually develop this quality of taking the complete shelter of the Lord at the soul level. Only then we will be able to get the mercy of the Lord and then the Acharyas. And so in the verse, Pitamaha is actually mentioned in the verse. So Prabhupada actually mentions that it can either mean Maharaj Yudhishthir or Lord Brahma. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was equanimous in any situation. So when Duryodhana tried to poison Bhima, he was not actually worried. He was actually equanimous. And another instance that we can see is when all the four brothers were unconscious on the lake of Vaishampayana, and then at that time he handled the situation and then he answered all the questions that was put forth by the Eksha, and then he brought all of the Pandavas back to life. And then Brahma is another example that Prabhupada gives. So Brahma is, although he is the creator of the universe, during the pastime when Krishna was actually here, he was actually cursed by the gopis. And why did the gopis curse Lord Brahma? Because they told that Brahma created the eyelids. And for the fraction of the second, when they closed their eyes, they were not able to see Lord Krishna. So that was the reason the gopis actually cursed Lord Brahma. So that was the stage where the gopis were. Like they did not even want a fraction of a second separation from seeing Lord Krishna. So the lesson that we have to learn is, whenever we serve somebody, or whenever we are in a position where as a leader, we might get blamed. So we should develop that quality of equanimous, not getting affected by duality. Like somebody is, so we should not become proud that somebody is glorifying us. And at the same time, if somebody gives some feedback, we should actually take that in a positive manner rather than getting affected by it. So the other two qualities mentioned in this verse are munificence. Sanskrit word is prasade, which means merciful and charitable. And then here the example that is given is Lord Shiva giving benediction to Ravana and Vrikasura. So we all know the story of Vrikasura. He actually did penance and then he got a benediction from Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is very, very merciful. Whoever may be the person, he will actually, if he pleases him, he will give the benediction. So in the case of Vrikasura, he got the benediction from Lord Shiva that whoever's head he touches, that person will actually burn into ashes. So Vrikasura was so cunning that he wanted to try out this benediction on Lord Shiva himself. So Lord Shiva actually, he gave the benediction, but he could not do anything. So he approached Lord Narayana, and then Lord Narayana actually came to Vrikasura and then told that, see, Lord Shiva is actually just playing with you. His benediction just won't work. Why don't you just try it on yourself? It's not going to work. Nothing will happen. So he touches his head and then he gets burnt into ashes. So the last quality that is mentioned is Ashraya Sarva Bhutanam, resort for even shelter for all the living beings. So this quality is applicable to Maharaj Parikshit because he had taken the complete shelter of Lord Narayana. Only a person who has taken complete shelter of the Lord, he will be able to give shelter to others, because the supreme shelter giver is the Supreme Lord. So nobody can give shelter to others when he is not taken shelter of the Supreme Lord. So this quality is hence applicable to Maharaj Parikshit because he had taken the full shelter of the Lord. And then another important point that Prabhupada mentions in this verse is we should not worship Lakshmi Devi separately, because she resides in the heart of Lord Narayana, and then she is Chanchala. So she will not stay in a place where Lord Narayana is not being worshipped. So we should always worship Lakshmi Narayana, not just Lakshmi to just get material benefit. Go to the next verse. Sarva Sadguna Mahatmye Yesha Krishnam Anuvrataha Ranti Deva Ivadaro Yayatir Ivadhar Mikaha. Translation: this child will be almost as good as Lord Sri Krishna by following in his footsteps. In magnanimity, he will become as great as King Ranti Deva, and in religion, he will be like Maharaj Yayati. So the first quality mentioned in this verse is Sarva Sadguna Mahatmya, glorified by godly attributes. So how do we acquire godly attributes? We all know that association is the principal cause of acquiring qualities. So does it mean that in order to acquire godly qualities, we associate with the Lord? Yes. But since the Lord is not present before us personally, how do we associate? So Prabhupada actually mentions that the following the instructions of the Lord is non-different from the Lord's form, Lord's qualities, paraphernalia, and it is identical with him. So if we follow the instructions of the Lord sincerely, then we are taking the association of the Lord, and then we will be able to develop the godly qualities. And then he also says that one can achieve up to 78%, which is 50 qualities of the 64 qualities that Lord has by his intimate association. And Maharaj Parikshit associated with the Lord even from within the womb of his mother up to the last day of his life. And thus he acquired all the necessary qualities, that's why the astrologers are saying that he will be glorified by all the godly qualities, because he associated with the Lord from the time from the womb of the mother to the last breath of his life. And another very, very important point is like children, as parents, we should actually depict good qualities, because the children will easily learn whatever the qualities the parents are depicting or showing. So children are just like clay, so they will easily get molded by whatever qualities the elders have. So we as parents should take extreme precaution that what qualities we develop, and then it's not that we have one qualities in front of the children and then we have our own qualities when we are not present in front of them. But we should develop the quality which is non-different when we are in front of the children or whether we are outside. And the other two qualities mentioned in this verse are udaraha, which means magnanimity, and then dharmikaha, religiosity. So for magnanimity, the example given is King Rantideva. And so King Rantideva was on the topmost platform of bhakti. He saw that each and every living entity was engaged in the service of the Lord except himself. Because of that quality, he was very, very charitable. We all know that story, how he actually fasted for 48 days, and at the time when he was about to break the fast, a Brahmin came, a poor man came, and a poor man with the dogs came, and then finally a Chandala came, to whom he gave his food, remnants, and the portion of the remnants that he saved, and also water. And then he used to always pray that he did not want anything from the Lord, but only thing that he asked from the Lord was to give him some austerity so that he can relieve the general people from their sufferings. So that was the platform on which King Rantideva was present. Sorry, I'm actually going a little bit fast because it's almost 10:30. So I'll quickly try to cover the remaining verses. And then the other other quality mentioned is dharmikaha, which means religiosity. So in this regard, the example that Prabhupada mentions is King Yayati. Actually, it is mentioned in the verse. King Yayati is mentioned in the verse. And in the Prabhupada, he expands on this and he gives the pastime of King Yayati. Although he was very, very irreligious during his youth, after some time during his when he was towards his later point of life, he became very religious. So in the 9th or 10th canto, not 10th canto, the story of King Yayati is mentioned. Devyani and Sarmishta, who actually were wives of King Yayati, so they were very, very good friends. And then once they had a quarrel in the in the forest, and then at that time Sharmishta actually pushed Devyani into the well, and King Yayati was actually passing by, and then he saved Devyani. And then at that time Devyani expressed that she wanted to marry him, because Devyani was actually naked at that time, and then King married her. And then when she was actually going to the kingdom, Shukracharya, he told that Sharmishta, Sharmishta was, when King Yayati and Devyani married, Sharmishta was as Dasi for Devyani, I think. So Devyani took Sharmishta also along with her. So Krupacharya actually mentioned to King Yayati that, please be away from this Sharmishta, don't let her in your bedroom. But King Yayati doesn't listen to that, and then he lets her into the bedroom, and then Sharmishta actually expresses the desire to King Yayati to get a son from him. So King Shukracharya actually comes to know about this, and then he curses King Yayati to lose his potency and to become an old man and become impotent. But the king could not accept the curse, whatever he had got, and then he begged for forgiveness. So Shukracharya actually told that if one of your sons give you youthfulness, then you can actually become, you can regain your youth. So he approached his last son, his name was Puru, and then Puru actually gave him the youthfulness, and then he became a youth. But after some time he realized what really life is, and then he told to his son that, no, I don't want this youth anymore, you take it and then you lead the kingdom. That is the story of King Yayati. Next verse.
Dhritya bali samakrishne prahrada iva sadgrahaha ahartaisho ashvamedhanam vriddhanam paryupashakaha.
Translation. This child will be like Bali Maharaj in patience and staunch devotee of Lord Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj, a performer of many Ashwamedha sacrifices and a follower of the old and the experienced men. So Dhritya is the first quality mentioned in this verse, which means patience. So we all know about the story of Bali Maharaj. He is one of the 12 Mahajans of devotional service. And he was one of the greatest authority in devotional service because he sacrificed everything to please the Lord and relinquished the connection of his so-called spiritual master, Shukracharya, who obstructed him on the path of risking everything for the service of the Lord. So why is this quality important to us? Prabhupada actually in Nectar of Instruction, in the purport, he mentions that one should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness. Patience requires that one should have full confidence in the Lord and one is free from the urge of the fruitive demands. And this quality is actually mentioned in Nectar of Instruction by Srila Rupa Goswami, which is favorable in the execution of devotional service, pure devotional service. So the verse is,
उत्साहं निश्चयात् धैर्यात् तत्तत् कर्म प्रवर्तनात् संगत्यागो सतोवृत्तेः षड्भिर् भक्तिर् प्रसीद्यति.
So I'll quickly read the purport that Prabhupada has given in Nectar of Instruction. One should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness. Indeed, this Krishna consciousness movement was started single-handedly, and in the beginning there was no response. But because we continued to execute our devotional activities with patience, people gradually began to understand the importance of this movement, and now they are eagerly participating. One should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take the instructions from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The successful execution of Krishna consciousness activities requires both patience and confidence. So he gives an example here. A newly married girl naturally expects offspring from her husband, but she cannot expect to have them immediately after marriage. Of course, as soon as she is married, she can attempt to get a child, but she should surrender to her husband, confident that her child will develop and be born in due course of time. So as devotees, we should actually develop this quality of being patient. We should be patient in any circumstance. So the other quality mentioned in this verse is satgrihaha, which means staunch devotee. So the example given is Prahlad Maharaj. We all know the story of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj was the authority in the devotional service of the Lord because he had his father killed by Lord Narasimha Deva, setting the example that even a father should be removed from the path of devotional service if such a father happens to be an obstacle. So this is a very, very strong statement. But the lesson that we need to learn is that whatever obstacles that we have in our devotional service, we should actually make conscious effort to get rid of it. So when we are, especially when we are doing chanting, the mind is one of the biggest obstacles, but we should take sincere shelter of this Lord and then beg to him to give us mercy so that we'll be able to chant the names of the Lord with devotion. So the other two qualities mentioned is ahartaisho ashvamedhanam, which means performer of many ashvamedha sacrifices, and vriddhanam paryupashakaha, follower of the old and experienced men. So this I mentioned in the beginning, that the qualities that Maharaj Yudhishthir, one of the important qualities that Maharaj Yudhishthir asked the astrologers was whether Maharaj Parikshit will be able to follow the instructions submissively. So a qualified king or a leader or a devotee must be a follower of the predecessor of the acharya. One should not imitate them, one should not be equal to them, but one should actually follow them. So it is a very, very important quality as a Vaishnava that we should follow the instructions of our predecessor acharyas.
राजर्षिणां जनयिता साष्ठा चोत्पातगामिनां निग्राहिता कलेरेशा भुवो धर्मस्य कारणात्.
Translation: This child will be the father of kings who will be like sages. For world peace and for the sake of religion, he will be the chastiser of the upstarts and the quarrelsome. So one of the main qualities of a leader is that he should be wise like a sage, because there will always be circumstances where strength alone will not be sufficient, but he will require wisdom. And who is the wisest man of everyone in the world? It's the devotee, because he has taken the shelter of the Lord. So one of the leaders, one of the duties of a leader is to create leaders. So we should actually set an example by our own qualities. So wise leader should maintain peace and prosperity in subduing the upstarts and quarrelsome people who indulge in wine, illicit connection with women, gambling and meat eating. So this is the basis on which Prabhupada actually established the Krishna conscious movement. So so these are the prominent vices in the age of Kali. And then, as we can see, Prabhupada, as the leader in the society, he established this, he established ISKCON to maintain peace and prosperity by subduing all these four vices in Kali Yuga. And why is this quality important to us? Because each of us, as the representative of Srila Prabhupada and then the Parampara, we need to be leaders in the society. And we should always set an example so that others can look up to us. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions yadyat acharati shreshtas tattat evataro janaha lokas sayat pramanam kurute lokastat anuvartate. So we should actually be an example so that others can actually look up to us, and then they can actually follow the qualities. And then the state fathers, leaders, therefore must follow the principles of becoming wiser by devotion to the Lord, by chastising the breaker of discipline and by uprooting the symptoms of quarrel. So this is Prabhupada actually is telling about politicians in this world and the leaders across the world. They should actually take the shelter of the Lord so that they can get rid of all the principles. But as we can see, this is not the case in the world. Everybody is actually taking on the side of all these vices, and then they are also falling down, and then the general mass of people is also falling down. Next verse:
Takshakad atmano mrutyom dvija putropasarjitat prapatsyata upasrutya mukta sangha padam harehe.
Translation: After hearing about his death, which will be caused by the bite of a snake bird sent by a son of a brahmana, he will get himself surrendered from all material attachment and surrender onto the personality of Godhead, taking shelter of him.
So in this I just put the purport that Prabhupada actually has in the verse. It's very, very beautiful.
So the two important points mentioned in this verse is mukta sangaha, detachment of the material affinity. So how should one develop? Prapatsyate harehe, by taking the complete shelter of the Lord. So material attachment and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord go ill together. Material attachment means ignorance of transcendental happiness under the shelter of the Lord. Devotional service to the Lord while existing in the material world is a way to practice one's transcendental relation with the Lord. And when it is matured, one gets completely free from all material attachment and becomes competent to go back home, back to Godhead. Maharaj Parikshit, especially attached to the Lord from the beginning of his body in the womb of his mother, was continuously under the shelter of the Lord. And the so-called warning of his death within 7 days from the date of the curse by the Brahmana's son was a boon to him to enable him to prepare himself to go back home, back to Godhead. Since he was always protected by the Lord, he could have avoided the effect of such a curse by the grace of the Lord. But he did not take such undue advantage for nothing. Rather,
he made the best use of a bad bargain. For 7 days, he continuously heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source, and thus he got shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord by that opportunity. So, as Prabhupada is actually telling in this verse, Maharaj Parikshit was not only protected in the womb of his mother, but he could also see the Lord in a suitable size, like his mace was actually turning around him and it was protecting in his womb when Ashwatthama shot the Brahmastra. So he understood, he totally understood that at that point when he was in the womb, he understood that he was being protected by the Lord himself. So although the beginning of his devotional service started in the womb, when he was in the womb of his mother, he did not think, as he was growing up, he did not think that, oh, I now have the full protection of the Lord and I don't need to actually stop doing devotional service. I can stop doing devotional service now. He did not do that. He actually cultivated the mood under the shelter of the Lord so that he can always serve the Lord, take complete shelter of him, and then be totally dependent on him. So at the end of his life, the son of the Brahmana cursed him to actually be bitten by Takshaka, he actually took that very happily, and then he took this that as an opportunity to listen about the Lord, and then he left his body. So we should also strive to cultivate that quality of taking the complete shelter of the Lord and Guru. By God's grace and Guru's mercy, we have been given that opportunity now. Correct? So we should actually take the full advantage of it, whatever we have been given, and continue doing our devotional service till the last breath of our life, till we die actually. So this is whatever we are doing now is just a preparation of when we are going to leave the body. Next verse.
जिज्ञासितात्मा यथार्थ्यो मुनेर्व्याससुतादसौ हित्वेदामृपगङ्गायां यस्याते अद्धकूतो भयम्.
Translation. After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. So the important quality, and this is the last quality mentioned by the astrologers for Maharaj Parikshit, and then we as the Vaishnavas should develop, is the quality of fearlessness, akuta bayam. So fearlessness comes only by once we get the sense of protection. And how do we get the sense of protection? It doesn't really come by our own strength. We cannot think that, oh, I'm powerful, I will just protect myself. No, that is not the case. As we can see in the verse, after inquiring about proper self-knowledge, so hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we can actually get free from all the material attachment and enter into the kingdom of fearlessness. And because of that, one should listen Srimad Bhagavatam from a qualified person. We should not just hear from the everyone and like normal people. Like in India, they are doing this Bhagavata Saptaha. So they should have the right mood. So the right message needs to be heard from the right person in a right mood and attitude. And then the attitude is that we are taking the complete shelter of the personality of Godhead. So once we do that, once we take the complete shelter, we can factually experience that because of the right mood and attitude. So when one comes to that position of complete shelter, one is completely protected by the Lord. And when one is completely protected by the Lord, we can be fearless actually. When Krishna or the Supreme Personality is of Godhead is on our side, we don't need to fear for anything actually. And Dhruva Maharaj depicted this quality. He was so fearless that when he was walking to the Vaikuntha Vimana, death personified actually approached him. So what did he do? He actually stepped on the head of the death personified and he entered into the Vaikuntha Vimana. So yeah, so we should actually consciously develop all these 10 qualities that is mentioned from verse 19 to 29 in the 12th chapter of first canto. So the last verse.
इति राज्ञा उपादिश्य विप्रजातक कोविदः लब्धापचित्तय सर्वे प्रतिजाग्मुः स्वकान् गृहान्.
Translation. Thus, those who were expert in astrological knowledge and in performance of the birth ceremony instructed King Yudhishthira about the future history of his child. Then being sumptuously remunerated, all they returned to their respective homes. So this verse was actually spoken by Suta Goswami. I have just put the purport here because Prabhupada has lots of points in the purport. The Vedas are the storehouse of knowledge, both material and spiritual. But such knowledge aims at perfection of self-realization. In other words, the Vedas are the guides for the civilized man in every respect. Since human life is the opportunity to get free from all material miseries, it is properly guided by the knowledge of the Vedas in the matters of both material needs and spiritual salvation. The specific intelligent class of men who were devoted particularly to the knowledge of the Vedas were called the Vipras, or the graduates of the Vedic knowledge. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedas, of which astrology and pathology are two important branches necessary for the common man. So Prabhupada mainly mentions about three branches of knowledge: astrology, pathology, and then Dhanurveda. So the intelligent men, generally known as the Brahmanas, took up all the different branches of Vedic knowledge to guide society. Even the Department of Military Education, Dhanurveda, was also taken up by such intelligent men. And then the Vipras were also teachers of this section of knowledge, as were Dronacharya, Kripacharya, etc. The word Vipra mentioned herein is significant. There is a little difference between the Vipras and Brahmanas, a very, very subtle difference here. The Vipras are those who are expert in karmakanda or fruitive activities, guiding the society towards fulfilling the material necessities of life, whereas the Brahmanas are expert in spiritual knowledge of transcendence. So both of them are experts in branches of knowledge, but one of them, Vipras, are basically directing guiding the society towards fulfilling their material desires. But on the other hand, Brahmanas or Vaishnavas, they are guiding the society towards the real purpose of life, which is performing devotional service. This department of knowledge is called as Jnana Kanda, and above this there is the Upasana Kanda. The culmination of Upasana Kanda is the devotional service of the Lord Vishnu, and when the Brahmanas achieve perfection, they are called Vaishnavas. Vishnu worship is the highest of the modes of worship. Elevated Brahmanas are Vaishnavas engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And thus, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the science of devotional service, is very dear to the Vaishnavas. And as explained in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge and is superior subject matter above the three khandas, namely Karma, Jnana and Upasana khandas. Amongst the Karmakanda experts, the Jataka expert Vipras were good astrologers who could tell all the future history of a born child simply by the astral calculations of the time, Lagna. Such expert Jataka Vipras were present during the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, and his grandfather Maharaj Yudhishthira awarded the Vipras sufficiently with gold, land, villages, grains and other valuable necessities of life, which also include cows. There is a need of such Vipras in the social structure, and it is the duty of the state to maintain them comfortably as designed in the Vedic procedure. Such expert Vipras, being sufficiently paid by the state, could give free service to the people in general, and thus this department of Vedic knowledge could be available for all. So in this paragraph, Prabhupada is actually saying that Jataka experts are indeed needed in the society, and then some section of the society needs to do that. However, they need to understand what the real purpose of life is, and then all of this knowledge, whether it is astrology, pathology or Dhanurveda or whatever, it's all leading to Krishna. If that is not there, when they give that knowledge, or whenever they write the astrology or the horoscope, when they don't give that knowledge, then even though they are an expert in that particular knowledge, it will be really useless. So that is the important point that we have to take from this verse, that whatever knowledge we have, if we are not able to dovetail that towards the service of the Lord, then even if we are experts or even if we are a scientist in that area, it is not really helpful. Like we can actually take the example of Gaurakumar Prabhu. He is a mathematician, so he is using his knowledge in teaching the Vedic mathematics for the kids, which is which is the biggest service he is doing. So we all also, whatever knowledge we have, we should try to dovetail it in the service of the Lord. So I think that's it. So the references that so these were the references for which helped me prepare for the class. So Prabhupada's purport on the verses and His Holiness Rompad Swami Maharaj's lectures, and then nectar of instruction. So one request I have to all of you is, if you get a chance, please listen to this section of verses that Maharaj has given. It is very, very nice. I'm really not doing it justice. I'm just trying to repeat whatever he has said, but the way he actually mentions, and most of these classes he gave in Chicago, it is very, very sweet actually. I like, when I heard the 22nd verse, I literally cried, and then I was telling Archana that we should daily listen to the classes. It is so beautiful actually, the way he tells, and then it is very, very beautiful. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Please forgive me for all the offenses that I would have done.